Hello and welcome everyone to another Super Rugby podcast with your host Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
And we are on week 11 of the Super Rugby competition.
We are.
And as per normal, Tobes, we're going to start the show with our listeners' questions.
We do say that it is the best part of the quiz. Well, I mean, you do.
And you don't.
I think every time I win the quiz, that is the best time.
Can we just talk about the quiz?
No.
Because
no.
Last week, you made me believe that we drew the quiz. And actually, after listening to the Super Rugby podcast back again, you drew, but actually you lost. I won 2 points to one. So I'm going
to
take
one.
That. 2 points. 2 points to one. If that's any clearer.
Oh, village.
So I'm going to take the victory. But the best part for me is the listeners' questions. But normally, Toby, we completely forget to plug our own selves.
Yeah.
How do they get hold of us? What's the best way to get hold of us?
Via email, thesuperrugbypodcast@gmail.com. But we're also on the Twitter.
I think the Twitter's a great way
Facebook.
To get... the Facebook. But the Twitter, so you can see up there, @SuperRugbyPod is our Twitter name. So get on there, join Twitter. If you're not part of Twitter, join it. @us. #us or do whatever. But we've got three great questions from our listeners. And we've got Darren Wipert again from Melbourne, three times on the show so far this season. He had a great question, though. He's put here, which team will Warren Gatland come back and take over Super Rugby-wise next year? And now, will he take over a team or will he not? For me, he's definitely going to take over a team.
Do you think he'll have a year out, though? A season out, just to chill out, do whatever he wants to do, and then get back into rugby? Or do you think he'll attack it and go straight into it?
I think he's going to go absolutely straight into it. Without any question, he's going to go straight into it. And I would be really surprised. Let's say Steve Hansen is still the All Blacks rugby coach.
Yeah, but he's not, is he?
No, I'm just saying, if he was, and all of the Super Rugby coaches were, or arguably could stay the same,
yeah.
I still think one of them would be biffed off for him to come and take over.
Really?
And my money is on the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, okay, fair. That's fair enough, though, eh?
My money's on the Chiefs. I think he'd want to take the Chiefs because that's local for him.
Well, he used to play for the Chiefs, isn't he?
Correct, yeah. And
but the thing is that when Hansen goes, who's going to take his spot? Potentially
Robinson. Yeah.
And then that leaves that wide open, doesn't it?
That's as always, Tobes, it's a great question from you. I think he would rather coach the Chiefs. Yes, if it came up and no one else was offering.
Yeah.
But I think there might be a few of those Super Rugby franchises actually fighting over him.
Yeah, well, I mean, why wouldn't you though?
He's
you would. You'd
top,
gun
top
for
coach.
Him. Oh,
top,
definitely.
Top coach.
Definitely, but...
And I don't think
the
coaching. I don't think the coaching of Super Rugby teams is right up there. He would dramatically improve any team he goes into.
Yeah, I guess so. But the thing with the Chiefs is obviously they're struggling and not doing very well. Are they going to keep a hold? Who is the coach at the moment?
Colin Cooper.
Are they going to keep him on?
I would say. Yeah, they would do if they had no one else, but they've got someone else who's top quality coach who they know.
But
is
then who
back.
Would go to the Crusaders?
I think it'll be another Crusader. You look at the Crusaders, and generally they replace a Crusader with a Crusader. You think of them all. You know, you've got Wayne
Smith.
That
sounds like something out of a book.
You've got Wayne Smith. You've got Robbie Deans.
Yeah.
You've got Todd Blackadder, and then you've got Razor.
Okay, so who's gonna?
In fact, I think every single Crusaders coach has been a previous Crusader.
Do you think Richie McCaw could come into the frame?
Absolutely not. I'm not saying he wouldn't be good. I just don't think he's interested at the moment.
No, too busy bloody flying planes, mate.
He loves flying planes and helicopters. So I'm going to say I think the Crusaders might be a fit because they're probably going to be space there. But I think he's gunning for the Chiefs, and I think he'd like to be at home. that would be absolutely perfect fit for him. So I'm going to say the Chiefs.
Alrighty. What's our next question?
Mate, this one's from Marcus North from Johannesburg. I don't think we've had anyone from Johannesburg.
No.
We've had one question from another South African.
Yeah.
He says, and this is another very, very good question. In the modern game, with defensive structures being so well organised, there seems to be a lack of space. What would you do to try and create more space for players to attack?
Well, we sort of saw the Hurricanes doing it against the Chiefs, weren't we? We were watching them attack around the ruck, changing that angle up, you know, starting wide, drawing that man out, and then hitting a good line back in to the ruck area. And oh, it might have been the Highlanders. Anyway, Highlanders, Hurricanes, either or. And I think it's just drawing your man out and just changing the angle on the ball.
I think there's lots of things you can do to try and create space from slow ball, which I think, I'm not sure that whether this is Marcus's question, but I think this, even without changing the rules, I think there's lots of things that you can do. I just don't think that coaches have given it as much importance until this year. And I think we're seeing a lot of teams really working to create, widen that seam in between the ruck and the first or second guards.
Well, the Sunwolves did a bloody good job of it, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They create a lot of space.
They got cream crackered.
But I think if we were going back and we knew that professional era was going to sort of breed such fit, strong and big players,
yeah,
I think they'd widen the pitch.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
It's not possible on every ground because obviously the grandstands and all that type of thing.
Yeah,
there are other things we could take players off the pitch. I don't think they'll do that. I don't think we're going to go down to 13.
No.
But I think
you're getting into rugby league.
We didn't mention this earlier. You could change the height of the tackle, and by making players tackle lower, by saying, you know, a high tackle is anything above the old nips.
The old chilly ones.
then potentially you're going to get a lot of players tackling low, which means that you'll
offloads come into
the game, which will open up the space. So
yeah, but we we don't want to see that.
It's one of those, isn't it?
You do, though.
It's not that I want to see it, but what I don't want to see is what's happening at the moment, which is just one out rugby players smashing it up. You know, you look at the carries, the number of carries some teams are going through. It's just boring rugby. Yeah. It's a little bit like having a conversation with you. It's just really, really dull and boring at times.
Dull like the dishwater, mate. You know me.
So I think anything we can do to make rugby more attractive. You might notice the New Zealand teams, I know we're new to New Zealanders, but the New Zealand teams do seem to throw the ball around a lot more than some of the other teams.
Yes. Well, you just look at the scores from the weekend.
The number of tries, the scores, the intensity levels. Yeah. So for me, anything that will improve that area would be good. So I think they would like to make the pitch wider, create more space. Don't think they can do that. But they can change some of the rules to enable the offload game to happen a little bit more. And possibly they could even change the rules to say that you've got to have a certain number of players even involved in a ruck. That would mean that you have less players fanning out.
Mate, but then
you are changing the fabric of rugby, I know. Not what we want to do.
No.
But it is a real issue because it is becoming quite...
It's becoming Northern Hemisphere rugby.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't want that. Mate, what's the last question anyway? You've got it over there as well.
From Tim Phillips from New York.
First American. Oh, no, we had someone from Texas, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Oh, Texas. I love Texas.
Righto. Hi, guys. I am new to rugby, but have been impressed to see how well the US Sevens team is doing. They are doing very, very well. Do you ever think the US 15 aside team will be a force in the future?
I can't see why they wouldn't, man. They've got some talent over there. They've got some talent.
But the thing is that at the moment, there's no money in rugby there.
There is now.
Oh, is there?
They're starting their first professional rugby union
league. Really?
Over there, yeah. So there's going to be professional clubs. They're pumping loads of money into it.
Did I tell you I played against a one Perry Baker?
Did you really?
Yeah.
He skinned you, didn't he?
No, he didn't skin me. initially I skinned him, and then I got about 2 meters beyond him and got absolutely walloped.
Do you know what? I've watched him play quite a few times. Can you just all imagine me running after Perry Baker? Yeah, I'd be running after Perry Baker, that's for sure.
Oh, man.
I think they're going to be a force. I think their biggest issue they're going to have is a little bit like all developing nations. How do you get in and play the big boys? Because you've got the Six Nations.
But the thing is that at the moment, just in the US, they've got no one. They've got Canada.
Yeah.
They've got
no one to play.
They've got no, exactly. They've got the South American teams potentially. You know, Uruguay, Brazil are coming into it now.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, unless they get into either the Six Nations, or the Tri Nation, or the Championship, they're not going to regularly play the big boys, and therefore they're not going to get the games they need to improve. No. And that's the problem with World Rugby.
Well, they're a tier two team, aren't they?
But it doesn't matter whether you're a tier two team or not.
No.
Unless you're part of those competitions, you're not gonna improve.
I could be wrong, actually. They could be tier one. I don't know that.
No, they're definitely not tier one, mate.
Oh, they're tier two.
Well, they could be even tier three, mate.
No, they're not
definitely. There could be bloody Jason tier, eh?
Too many tiers to look at.
But so that's the problem with World Rugby, is you've got the Six Nations, which is a closed shop because it's run by the Six Nations.
Yeah.
And then you've got your championship, which is run by Sanzar.
Yeah.
And they're not saying, oh, we're going to drop people and bring people up.
No, that's right.
So therefore, they're shut books. The only World Rugby competition that's run is actually the Sevens. And you can see how successful that is, because that's run by World Rugby, not by any other company or...
They've also got, when it comes to, let's say, Dubai Sevens, they've got a qualifier for the tournament after Dubai Sevens, and so on and so forth. So at each tournament, they've also got a qualifying tournament
to allow other
teams
to come
into it, which is really good, isn't it?
Well, just imagine if they had that for, international games.
Oh, yeah.
How much better would teams get? I actually think that America will get that opportunity, because everyone wants the dollar.
Yes.
Everyone wants the dollar. So a smart move would be for Sanzar to say, hey, come and play. Come and play us. We'll take your dollar. We'll take your supporters.
We'll come and play a couple games in America.
Absolutely.
Although the All Blacks kind of already do sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
Soldier Park.
Soldier's Field, mate.
Soldier's Field. Village.
So I would say
that was a good question,
it's a matter of time before they do become big, big players, because they've got the talent pool. They don't have the knowledge yet, but they'll get that pretty quick.
But the thing, they do have the talent pool 100%, because they've got NFL stars NFL players on the brink of, making a team or not. And a lot of them will just go, I might have a go at rugby.
Well, I've not made the NFL.
I've not made the NFL. I'm probably not going to.
So I'll go and change up. It's a big, big step. I mean, Sevens is one thing. You've seen Kenya do well in Sevens.
Yeah.
You've seen Spain do quite well. There's a massive step up to play 15-a-side game. It's so much more technical. But it's a matter of time. The more...
Yeah, but if they're having a professional league, it's only, a matter of time before they can work their way up.
Yeah.
Tier by tier.
So I'm definitely going to say, how many years would you give it though, Topes?
5.
Or I'll give it 10.
I'll give it 5 years before they can beat the likes of Italy, Uruguay, those sorts of teams. They might actually already beat Uruguay.
Oh,
not sure.
I would say 5 years before they're pushing teams like, Canada.
Georgia.
Georgia are good though, hey?
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Good. How good's their pack?
But I do think it won't be that long before they're beating them.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of time.
Before 10 years before they beat England? Maybe only 2 years, mate. You never know.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that, but I'd say 10 years before they're in and around,
playing
with
decent
the big
standard,
boys
yeah.
regularly. That would be fantastic to see. Anyway, that is the listeners' questions.
Yeah.
The other thing is, go onto Twitter and subscribe to us.
Oh.
Or follow us or whatever it is. Follow us, I think it is.
I'm not sure, mate. You're the one with the Twitter.
Yeah, I'm the one that does the Twitter account. I'm learning. I'm learning as we go. Never had Twitter before we did this.
Learning pretty slowly, though.
So slow and sure. But definitely get on there and follow us And then you can direct message us with your questions, because at the moment we get most of our questions through the email, which is also good. But anyway, we're moving on to the review of
this week's games.
This week's games.
Righto. So the first game up was the Crusaders versus the Lions. So the Crusaders won 36-10. What did you think, mate?
Well, I mean, obviously pleased there, because that could was a real banana or potential banana skin that could have happened. Luckily, it didn't. I think, as I said before, if the Lions had got an early lead, then it might have been a different story, but they didn't get an early lead and it went the other way. Crusaders got an early lead and it was just never going to look back.
Well, the thing was, mate, even I was clapping for the Crusaders.
Why were you clapping for the Crusaders?
There's a couple of bloody great tries. Sivu Reese.
Yeah, he is.
What a guy!
You know who did he play for before moving to the Crusaders? Do you know that?
I wouldn't have a clue.
He played for the not Taranaki with the Chiefs. Waikato. He played for Waikato.
Really?
He played for Waikato since 2016, and he's just come in to Super Rugby.
He's bloomed, hasn't he? Why haven't the Chiefs picked him up?
Why wouldn't you?
Oh. Powerful.
Fast. Skillful.
Small.
Aggressive.
I tell you what, he's been bumping off some big fellas too, hasn't he?
Oh, mate, you know.
Yeah. Almost as fat as you, mate.
Harvili
for me had a shocker.
You said that.
Yeah,
I don't reckon he had a shocker, eh?
He just made simple mistakes that didn't need to be made. You know, there was that simple drop ball.
Oh, yeah, but that was George Bridge.
No,
I'm a massive fan of George Bridge.
No.
George Bridge, it was a pass that was back shoulder.
Mate.
Look at the replay. I know, but he's running full tilt, all right?
He should have caught it.
Back shoulder pass. He should have caught it. No, you're right.
So,
but I don't think that leads to a shocker. Anyway, we'll have to agree to disagree.
Reed, Reed had a good game.
Reed had a really good game.
He's getting back into it, I think.
Reed had a good game. He did a lot. I think he plays a little bit like Richie McCaw, where he gets involved where people don't, where, you know, he puts his head where others won't. But in the loose.
I wish you'd do that, mate.
in the loose, he's nowhere near as effective as he was 3-4 seasons ago. But he does a lot of work that people don't notice. Great in the lineouts, great in the scrums.
Lineout work is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
My picking point for this week is the scrums. There were so many resets this week that it really annoyed me. I would like someone, not me, maybe someone out there, to go through and actually time how long it takes for the scrums to actually reset in each game. I reckon it'd be a few minutes at least.
Well,
and that's all it takes to
sometimes
make.
When
that's
I'm watching these games, obviously we can't watch them all live. We would love to watch them all live. We watch as many live as we can. But with work and those types of commitments, we often have to watch them replay. And we have to sometimes fast forward. Well, sometimes you can fast forward the reset scrums and you will get a game down to like just over an hour.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, which is a lot of reset scrums, isn't it? A lot of reset scrums. I reckon they should penalise anyone unless they stay square. If the referees started to really knuckle down on props turning in, right, and say, okay, if I see you turn in, doesn't matter which side you're on, if you turn in, you're going to get a penalty.
Or even like a free kick.
Even a yellow card. That would literally stop it.
That escalated so quickly.
It actually
free
went
kick,
down,
yellow
and then it went,
card,
and then it went up as well.
So, mate, I've got one other thing that's actually quite village, and the Crusaders are it. We all know that.
The nine times champion Crusaders? Yeah.
No one's counting, mate. You are. there's lights on the goalposts. So
that
when the Crusaders.
I'm really sorry.
Score.
Can I just apologise to anyone else out there? Whoever thought that was a good idea needs to be put back in their box. Oh, you know what, mate? I reckon it's a great idea to make the lights, the post flash red when the ball goes through.
Just like the cricket bails when you get a wicket. Come on, fellas. Sort it out.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It is
awful.
Awful.
I thought the Lions were very easy to defend against. They didn't have much go forward.
that when that, the Lions are a team that, again, they just strangle you. And they had to start throwing the ball around and then just not good at that.
No, it's not their game, is it?
Oh, absolutely not their game, no. Not their game at all. Other things that I thought were just, you know, they tried to run it, but they were outclassed. Braden Enor. He had a great game. And he's a guy for the future.
He was playing at 13 as well.
Yeah, that's his preferred position.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's got plenty of pace,
doesn't he? He's got plenty of gas. He's definitely someone to look at the future. Shall we move on? Because I think that was a game. It was a good game. But
it was a good game, but, you know, it's the Crusaders. No one really cares.
The next game, though, Tobes.
Oh, this was fantastic.
The Sunwolves at home to the Highlanders.
52-0. An absolute drumming. Absolute drumming. It was... didn't have Ben Smith.
No. Didn't need Ben Smith.
Didn't need Ben Smith. Who came in for him?
No idea. Marty Banks.
Fettis.
Oh, yeah, Fettis.
He didn't play very well. But
he's
carrying
a bit of a knee injury as well, Fettis.
Yeah, last. Yeah, that's right.
He's a good player, though. He's a good team man, isn't he?
Aaron Smith.
Oh. I mean, what I've written down here, mate, is that the thing that makes the Highlanders so impressive is that very few players outshine other players. Apart from Smith is a class above. Oh. I put down here Franklin at 4 played really well.
Yes.
And Coltman at 2
played really well. He had a lot of turnovers, actually.
But the rest of the team work hard for each other. And as we've said right at the start of the season, they are the best team when it comes to teamwork.
Yeah.
They work really, really hard for each other.
Teamwork makes the...
dreams work, mate. Oh, teamwork makes dreams work. I just thought the Sunwolves looked really, really tired and disjointed. And for the first time this season, their set pieces were an absolute mess.
Yeah, why is that? They had the back row in the back line.
I think they had a few. They had a few. I mean, they are really, really now struggling for numbers.
Yeah.
They've had a few long-term injuries now and... you know, not even their first choice. Nines playing.
No.
Their midfield's full of number 8 forwards.
Yeah. Although, I tell you what, the fullback who started the game, he played really well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of his name.
It might have been Timu, mate.
I don't think so.
It wasn't.
No, it was a Japanese bloke.
Oh, okay. Well, all I was watching was the scoreboard going up and up and up and up.
Can I also say, though, the Sunwolves fans, again, are absolutely fantastic.
Wonderful.
Brilliant,
I think they are the best fans because they genuinely are clapping both teams. You know, there's not a lot of Highlanders supporters that were out there.
They were watching rugby, weren't they?
They were just enjoying the game.
They weren't watching their team.
No, they were, you know, a real credit to their Sunwolves team. But that's it, mate. 52-0. The first time the Sunwolves have been beasted this year. The first time the Sunwolves have looked like...
well, they didn't even get it on the scoreboard, did they?
No, didn't even look like... they just made mistake after mistake. It was actually a bit sad. Bit sad to see them perform so poorly.
Yeah.
Next game, though, was an absolute rip-snorter of a first half. It was the Hurricanes at home to the Chiefs. It was 47-19. And I've written down here, Geordie, we like to bag Barrett, had an absolutely wonderful first half, didn't he, Tobes?
Oh, honestly, just before he scored that try, we were like, he is so village. Why is he playing there? Blah, 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 blah. And then he scored an absolute cracker.
He scored two, didn't he?
He scored two,
And they were both very, very well taken
tries. The second try
was a bit
untouched.
Villager defence.
It was, to be fair.
And it was a little bit of what was going to happen later in the game as well. Yeah. They fought back pretty well, the Chiefs, in that first half to bring it somewhat close. I know it's 28-12 at half time, but it did feel like there was the possibility of them coming back into the game. And I think Arne Saivia, what a game he had.
How about that? His try, he created the turnover.
Yeah.
And then he got back up and legged in, scored the bloody try.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about Arne Saivia is sometimes he plays like that and then sometimes he has an off game. And yeah. and if you look, and we always, you know, look at loose forwards against Richie McCaw, Richie McCaw didn't have the bad games. Arguably, he didn't have the games like Artie Sevier has, where he's yeah. absolutely dominant the whole time. But you've got to have that consistency. And I think that's the reason why he's a bench player
yeah.
and not a starter.
And he comes onto the field with 20 minutes to go.
And he's consistently good yeah. as a bench player.
Yeah.
Consistently brings that energy, changes the game. But does he have it from a starting point of view for the All Blacks? Because I think he'll maybe play his first game really, really well. But then other games, he will just not deliver
yeah.
week in, game in, game out.
Yeah. TJ, he's playing really well.
Very, very impressive.
We've got some great halfbacks.
Yeah, we've got many, many a halfback.
Yeah.
Bryn Hall, not even in the squad, mate.
We don't like
great
Brad
halfback.
Brad Weber.
Yeah, ripping it up, mate. Ripping it up. You can't knock Brad Weber this season.
He didn't play, actually.
No, he didn't play. I thought the Chiefs' defence, one thing that I really noticed was they got narrow really, really quickly.
Yeah,
they mentioned
that straight away.
They put too many players into rucks, and then they realised they were outflanked, and because they thought they were outflanked, they went wide and left holes straight through the middle. Yeah. It was, do you know what? It was like, you know, playing first 15 rugby, you've got on the bus, you've had a long way to travel, you get off the bus, and then you're like still on the bus for 20 minutes. That's what they were like, yeah. the Chiefs. They really started
didn't turn up. No.
And didn't turn up in the second half.
To be fair,
well.
It was a good start from the Hurricanes. It was a very good start.
Good start from the Hurricanes. Bad, bad start from the Chiefs. One of the questions I've got down here, were the Hurricanes good or were the Chiefs bad?
Yeah. Well, you spelt were wrong.
Thanks for that, mate.
Yeah, and I think it's a factor of the both of them. You know, the Chiefs, as you say, didn't turn up, and then the Hurricanes...
Were good, yeah.
And they didn't take their foot off the gas.
What was interesting was middle of the, you know, sort of halftime chat with the coaching staff, they did talk about the fact that they were having a problem with some of their players not committing to the hard press. And I think this is something that a lot of the New Zealand teams, a lot of the Australian teams are working hard on is their defence. The issue with that is unless you all commit, then you do leave those gaps. And I think it takes more than just one season to bring in a new defensive structure. And I think the Chiefs possibly may be struggling with that this year.
Yeah.
I did think that ALB was... Anton Leonard-Brown, mate, if you don't understand what that
he
is.
He had another great game.
Great game, and he's playing for a team that are struggling. Just thought they lost their shape. Yeah. Lost their shape in attack and defence.
Yeah, well,
especially second half. We love Stephen Donald. We love Stephen Donald.
But he was village.
He was awful when he came
wasn't he? Yeah.
And hey, did you notice that Stephen, where's my grey hair Donald gone? I mean, seriously, he's put on some regain. Or not regain, what is it?
I don't know.
What do they call that?
Pantene Pro V.
That's shampoo. Just for men. You put a bit of Just for Men on there.
How on earth do you know that?
I think you
got some upstairs,
You might mind that every time I go to the shop, I'm looking at those packets at the moment.
Oh.
But yeah, 47-19. I think it was a fair reflection between the strength of both teams.
Yeah. Right, mate. Next game. Waratahs versus the Sharks. Now, we had the Waratahs down to win, didn't we? But then they lost 23-15.
This was a... Hey, first question for you. There was two yellows, one red.
Yeah.
Okay. Was the red a red? And my answer is yes. The red was a red. He made elbows.
Imagine if the red's got a red.
He elbowed the player in the face with no force, but whatever.
That's not the point, though.
Didn't even look like he really meant to do it, but I think he did mean to do it. So I think that's a red. But the yellow was really to the letter of the law, it's a yellow. But anyone watching that thought that was a yellow card, I just think, what's happening with rugby? I mean, he's picked the player up. He's gone up beyond the horizontal, and therefore it's a yellow. But he didn't really.
How did he let him down though?
I didn't actually like so see nicely. You almost let him down like a pillow. Just imagine, mate. I pick my daughter up. You know, I'm sort of playing around and I let her down nicely. It was almost like what he did.
Right.
He was really, I mean, you know, there was never going to be an injury there.
Okay.
So for me, it just wasn't a, and they were down to 13 players.
Yeah.
So 13 players, at that point, they were never going to come back.
At what time did the red card actually happen?
Pretty much straight after half time. Yeah.
Oh,
so absolutely.
Because it was 10-0,
mate.
Straight away.
10-0. But the red card was a red card. We just had an absolute brain fart. So he's put his team under the pump. So 14 versus 14 because one of their guys got a yellow. They came back quite strong with 14 players in the end, but Bernard Foley had a kick.
Yeah,
it was a pretty easy
that.
Kick, and he sent it right.
He's not playing very well, actually.
I think he's playing okay. He's just not kicking well. And my question is, World Cup final, would you trust him? Man, you'd be struggling at the moment to say you trust him with the ball in hand on the end of the boot because he's just... I mean, that was a pretty easy kick. It was just
to the left of the uprights,
you. I would back you to get that, right, twice out of 10, mate. I'd back you.
Twice out of 10. I tell you what, tomorrow, shall we go down to the ocean and see if I can kick it from the same posse?
I think you can kick it from the same one, mate. So disappointing for the Waratahs.
Yeah.
Maybe the Israel Folau that the you know they got
it's
up for
slowly,
that game last week, but you know another
he's a
week.
Big loss though, isn't
oh,
he?
Oh God, he's a
huge
big loss.
Loss,
massive, and he's a huge man, isn't
oh,
he?
Mountain,
and he's a player who was really playing well this year. So sad. Yeah. Ill discipline. Sharks pounce on ill discipline. Waratahs was one of the headlines that the newspapers were going
but
with, and
technically
I think that
Sharks can't. Pounce, can they?
No, mate. They're not cheaters, eh? Next game up, though, was...
The Stormers versus the Bulls.
A 1 point in this game. 1 point. We picked the Bulls to win.
We did. Yet again, we were wrong. Defence. Missed tackles. So we've got tackles. We've got 146 to the Stormers and 117 to the Bulls. Stormers missed 34 to 26. That's a huge amount of missed tackles.
Absolute massive
how,
amount
how
of missed
How have the
tackles.
Bulls not scored any more points than that?
It's the way they play, mate. You know, people might miss tackles against them, but they're just bashing it up.
Yeah.
So even if they miss
one
a
man
tackle
slipping off.
Exactly.
Only
even if they
a
miss a tackle,
meters.
It's not like they're busting and breaking and almost scoring all the time. I think if you're playing and you're spinning the ball wider and you're missing tackles, you get cut to pieces. But I think the way that they play, they just bash it up. So therefore, they miss a tackle or two. It's not actually
it's not a big deal.
But it should be. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge amount of missed tackles.
Well, yeah.
They actually, to be honest, mate, they scored a late try to get the bonus point. So that it was a seven, you know, that they were...
Oh, so they were already...
They were well
behind. 8 points down.
They were well behind and in reality... The game was gone, and they got a bonus point. A little bit like what the Waratahs could have done if Foley had got the kick.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he didn't. So, interesting game, but it wasn't a great spectacle.
No. Two heavyweights.
But talk about a spectacle.
Oh.
The Jaguares versus the Brumbies. The first half in this game was an absolute cracker.
Was it good?
It was,
I didn't actually see the game.
It was brilliant. Unfortunately... The second half was not a cracker.
It was a dud.
And I think it was one of those where the Jaguares didn't want to show their hand.
Well, they won 20 points to 15, didn't they?
Yeah.
What was the halftime score?
I don't actually have the halftime score here, but it was. I think there was only some penalties in the second half.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it wasn't a lot in it.
The Brumbies had a chance to get back into it. They're only 5 points behind.
I think the Jaguares kicked one penalty in the second half, and that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So they just really, both teams didn't want to show their hand in the thing that they might have got a try scored against them. So they just all kept it really, really tight and played really brutal rugby. But that's it. That's where we're at, unfortunately, in world rugby. And as we think about the World Cup, we as New Zealanders might sit here and say, oh, it's fantastic, we play this running rugby. But in reality, in test matches,
we don't play like that often.
Well, we do, but everyone else plays that kind of tight game.
Oh, Australia tend to play it pretty expensive.
Yeah, I suppose Australia and us.
Yeah.
And I suppose all teams on their day,
Japan,
they can play that expansive.
Yeah.
But most teams, when push comes to shove, stick it up their jumper and just hold on to it for dear life.
Yeah.
And keep the game tight.
Which team do you think does that the most?
Which team keeps it tight?
Yeah.
Well, you definitely got your South African teams.
Yeah.
Keep it tight. Although, like when you got guys like Vili Leroux,
yeah,
you know, when he's involved, they do free it up a little bit more. England in a World Cup
to a point,
will keep it tight against top teams. Wales keep it tight against top teams. Ireland keep it tight. They've only really got their power plays off first phase. They really fling it. So most teams really keep it tight.
Yeah.
Apart from us and
Australia.
Well,
I'll tell you what, America, USA could learn a thing or two, couldn't they? There you go, Tim. Right, that's a wrap though, eh, mate?
Hey, mate, we've got our predictions for next week.
Oh, yes, we do.
We've got our predictions for next week. So
I've actually ticked mine before even discussing it with you.
I haven't done that.
No,
but never mind. I'll do it very quickly now. I won't chew it.
We've got the first game, Crusaders versus the Sharks. Crusaders at home.
Well, I mean, it's easy, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy game, but it's an easy choice. It's going to have to be the Crusaders.
Correct, yeah. Now we've got the Reds at home to the Sunwolves. Sunwolves off the back of an absolute
They look
thumping.
Really, really tired as
they
well.
Do, yeah.
So the Reds have had a week off.
Yes.
They had a week off, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
I think the Reds might win it relatively easy.
My thoughts exactly, yeah. And that's what I've ticked.
This is a massive match next, though. Hurricanes-Rebels.
Hurricanes at home.
Rebels have had a week off.
Oh, mate, it's a day game. 6:15, we could get up and watch that.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. I'm going to say the Hurricanes, but only just. I think the Rebels are going to come out, and they're going to play fantastic rugby. I think with a week off,
I don't think the Rebels have got a chance.
You don't think the Rebels have got a chance?
Nah.
Question for you. What happens if Beauden Barrett doesn't play, they rest him?
Good question. I think they'll play him.
I think they will need to play him.
Yeah,
they
definitely.
Need to play him.
Definitely. They've got no one else.
They don't. I mean, we've seen what they've got. Yeah,
yeah.
They desperately need to play him. I agree. Hurricanes will win. Again, I say this. This is how important Beauden Barrett is to the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
When he doesn't play, they could lose to anyone.
Yeah, definitely.
But if they've got him playing, they'll win. I do think it's going to be tight, though. You don't.
No.
Highlanders Chiefs.
Oh, this is going to be an absolute... This is going to be a cracker. This here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, non-binary. This is the game of the weekend for me. This is the game of the weekend. So
not for me.
Not for you.
Not for me.
Really?
No, no way.
What? Who's the game of the weekend?
The Brumbies Blues,
no,
mate.
No.
That is going to be awesome.
No. Anyway, I've picked the Highlanders to win.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Yeah. Highlanders to win at home. They're playing great team rugby.
They are, yeah.
Chiefs are struggling for players, as we said they might at the start of the season. Some of our predictions at the start of the season are really starting to come true now.
Well, you know, we do talk some sense amongst the...
drivel.
The other stuff.
So, for me, Blues will pip the Brumbies.
That's what I've put, yep. God, this isn't going to be very good for us.
No. Hey, this is a good one, though. This is a tough old one to pick. The Bulls versus the Waratahs.
I've gone for the Bulls. They're at home.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're just going to strangle them.
I want to, and this is coming. This is hard to say, but I actually want the Waratahs to win.
Oh, I don't mind the Waratahs to win, but I don't think they will, unfortunately. Then we've got the last game, mate. Jaguares at home again, and they're playing the Stormers.
Jaguares And Jaguars are on the rise they are on the rise.
They've got a bit of blood.
They will really, really want to win this game. I mean, every team wants to win the game, but they'll be thinking about getting to the top of the log. It's much funny. I've been, you know, I listen to a lot of the post-match press stuff, and you know, all the South African teams, they're all in literally a huddle. No one's really pushing ahead. No one's really dropping behind. It is very, very congested on what they say the log. So I think the Jaguars will narrowly win. So the only real differences for us is whether the Bulls or the New South Wales Waratahs, whoever wins that one, will decide whether I'm right or you're right.
What were our predictions last week?
We pretty much got them all bang on.
Were we all the same?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I'm just asking.
You know the answer.
No, I don't. I don't.
You do.
I don't.
We weren't all the same. We had one team that was out, and that was whether the Hurricanes were going to beat the Chiefs or not.
Oh, and you took the Chiefs. I won.
I said, and I think anyone listening will remember this, that I said if Beauden Barrett played, that they would win.
Which side did you tick?
I ticked the Chiefs.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Anything else he says is irrelevant. So, that's a wrap of next week's predictions. I think it's going to be a good, again, we say it every week, don't we? It's going to be a good week of rugby.
It's going to be a great week of rugby. It's great to see that we've got that nice early game for us over here in the UK.
Yeah.
To watch.
Although it's on a Saturday.
Hey, mate, so still good. Still good. Still good.
Yeah, we've got school sport. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, coming up next is not the quiz. We're not doing the quiz
scared.
Today.
He's running scared, eh?
Running scared, winning last week. We are going to do our mid-season, although we're a week late, we're going to do our mid-season Super Rugby Podcast Awards. So, Toby, our first award that we've got is for Rookie of the Half Season.
Rookie of the Half Season, Village.
So, who have you got for Rookie of the Half Season so far?
I'm going Ione for the Highlanders.
Oh, fly half Ione. Fly half. Because there's a number of them, isn't there? Right. Mind you, he's the only rookie Ione.
Yes. Yeah.
Did he play last year, though?
Did he?
I can't remember, because is he classed as a rookie? We'll class him as a rookie.
I'll class him as a rookie. But
I'm not sure whether he's an official rookie
or is this
not.
Like his breakout year?
This is his breakout year. I think to be classed as a rookie, you've got to play less than 5 games last season.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay, I didn't do my... Who's yours, mate?
For me? Well, hey, I've got more than just... I've actually got a little presentation for you. So I'm just going to go press a few buttons. It's going to bring up who I've got.
Oh, man. Rookie of the year.
He looks dangerous. Sivir Reese, mate, for me, yeah. Look at him there. Look at him. He looks like the business, eh? And he's played like the business, too. In his first game for the Crusaders, he was awesome.
He's been awesome every time he's been on the pitch.
Every game he's been awesome. So, not someone that a lot of people were talking about. People were talking about Will Jordan. This is a backs, by the way.
Yeah.
This is backs. We've got to go for our fours as well. He's been exceptional every single game he's played.
Yeah.
He's been a bit of a superstar every game he's played as well, which is why I've named him my rookie of the half year for the backs. What about for the forwards for you?
I wouldn't have a clue. I tell you who I do like is the bloke who's actually come overseas, the Canadian.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Audron,
he plays 4 or 8.
Yeah.
He's not a bad player.
No, he's not a bad player, but he's not brilliant. Not great.
Not like.
Who have you got?
Not like. Wait for it. I'm going to press a button. The Ginger Ninja himself.
Yeah, I would have picked him too. He has been playing out of his skin.
Now, if you go on and type in, it's Tom Robinson.
Look at that moustache.
Now, he has got some interesting head and shoulder shots. This is how we know him, apart from the moustache. He doesn't currently have the moustache, but look at that. That's absolutely fantastic. But he also has some quite normal looks.
Really?
Yeah, very similar to yourself.
Are you going
to
show me?
No, I'm not going to show you.
He got nothing.
But he's been playing awesome rugby. In fact, I remember watching him play against the Crusaders in round one, and I thought, wow, who's this guy? Right from round one.
Yeah.
In every game, I think possibly, I hope anyway, he'll move into that second row.
Second row, you think?
Yeah, I think for him to make the... to make the step into the ABs.
You think so?
He'd be better suited to being a second row forward than a loose forward. I think there's a lot of competition out there for loose forward, especially blindside. And he'll find it much tougher getting into the ABs playing six.
Well, who do you think will go into the blindsides? Well, or the blindside?
You look at it now. And you know, how many people are fighting for the six shirt?
How many?
Well, you've got Fifita, you've got...
You even said today that, or yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah, or the day before.
I think Fifita's there's a lot of work.
Yeah.
There's Frizzell.
Frizzell, yeah, he's playing well.
There is, coming back from injury, big guy from the Highlanders.
Oh, Squire?
Squire, yeah. The next thing I was going to say was terrible haircut, Squire. So they're all fighting out for six.
Yeah.
And then, you know, arguably, you might have a situation where you could play Reed at six to enable Aikido Ione to come on. You've also mean, you know, you just think of the loose forwards they've got available to them. Tough to fit into that six. Whereas second rows, we've got good second rows, don't get me wrong, but there is far less quality second rows around than there is... you know, blindside flankers.
No, that's
because he's not going to be an open side flanker. Let's be honest, he's not going to be an open side flanker, is he?
No.
So, but what a player.
Very good player. Very
now it's time for player of the season. You want to go for your back first?
I'll go my back first.
Go for it.
This could be controversial, but I'm going to go Israel Folau.
Folau. I can't knock you on this.
No.
He won't be the player of the season because he won't be playing.
No, but that's irrelevant, though, eh?
I agree with you. It is irrelevant. Yeah. It is irrelevant. And I think he does deserve, if you just take him playing, does deserve to get that award.
Definitely. And now, are you going to bring up another picture, mate?
I am going to bring up another picture. Just wait there. TJ Perenara.
You could have found a better picture, mate.
No, that is TJ right there. You look at him. I don't know whether he's going to eat a hot dog or whether he's
a hot dog.
Look at it, man. His mouth's open. Yeah, really,
I can see it. Okay, I've got my glasses on.
I was bagging him at the start of the season saying he didn't play well last year.
No.
He was a weak link for the All Blacks. I think he listened to me. He took it personally. And he has ripped it up this year.
He has. He's been playing
been
really,
absolutely
really well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think thoroughly deserves... this award.
Yeah.
You could have gone for Smith at nine. I do think Smith's still number one choice.
Rico?
Rico's been great.
Yeah.
I think this guy, Perenara, has
Smith?
Been... no.
He hasn't actually shone. He's played well, but he hasn't
played
shone.
Well, he hasn't shone. Yeah. So maybe it's more because he's outdone what I thought he could do that I'm putting in there, but I thought he's very, very good. Yeah. What about forwards for you?
Well, there's a few, mate. You've got Savia. He's playing well.
Great. He's playing very, very, great rugby.
Yeah. You've got Ione.
Yeah, again,
number
great
eight.
Rugby, yeah.
Yeah. You've got, but I think it's hard, though, because all of the All Blacks haven't been able to play as much. You know, I haven't seen much of Sam Whitelock.
Brody Retallick. Recently, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Kieran
you are right.
Reed.
You are right. You're never wrong, really, are you? But we're not just talking about...
No,
you
but...
know,
again,
we're not talking about New Zealand games,
but again,
not New Zealand teams.
You know, your pick for forward of the year, or rookie forward of the year, or forward of the half year, he could be up there.
He could be up there, as the full player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, remember a few years ago when Rico one breakthrough player, but also is up there for the player of the year as well. And it's a little bit like that with some of the rookies that they've been playing really well.
Yeah. Brad Weber could be... Oh, no, he's back. Don't worry.
So who are you going for?
Oh, it's a tough one.
Should I give you my pick?
Yeah.
And then we can come back to yours.
I bet you he's a crusader.
Hey, just wait here again. I'm going to press a few buttons. Pablo Matera, yeah. He has been amazing this year.
Curveball.
I actually think he is currently player of the year worldwide.
Really?
Yeah, I he'd be someone who I'd have in the ABs without question. He's just fantastic at the moment. And he's been He's been looking good for a number of years as well. So this is not coming out of the blue. He's been in good
form. He's been in and around, Yeah.
He's been a bit raw, been sort of when he makes breaks, makes poor decisions in the past, not this year. If he has a really good World Cup, which might be difficult depending on how, you know, Argentina do, then he could be right up there for World Player of the Year. I'd love to see him be in and amongst it because, you know...
I'd love to see a non... Kiwi, English, South African or Australian actually get player of the year.
But you had one last year. You had an Irish guy, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, an Irish, an Irish. Village call, by the way.
Johnny Sexton.
How
Johnny Sexton, oh my goodness. Oh, what were they thinking?
Not a clue.
Just because they bet the All Blacks, just they got they carried away and they basically gave it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Not good.
Not good.
But mate, so going back to you, you've got to pick a forward. Who's it going to be?
Ione. I'm going to pick Ione.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. I just don't think Ione has been consistent enough.
I think he has this year.
Oh, he's been really good.
He has.
But has he been consistently? It's a bit like Sevilla. You could have said Sevilla.
Yeah.
And I would have said, yeah, okay, I give that to you. But you didn't. And then you've gone, I just think Sevilla's been more consistent than Ione. I want to see Ione playing eight for the ABs.
Yeah, oh, so would I. Where has Dane Coles gone?
Dane Coles has vanished off the face of the earth.
He has.
Over the last few weeks. I don't actually know whether he's injured or not, but I hope he's not.
No.
I hope they're just managing his return because he was playing great rugby up until a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And he would have been someone, if he had played a bit more, who we might have been saying is up there for this award.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I brought him up.
Absolutely, yeah. But anyway, mate, that is us. We're done for another week.
Another week.
I
done and dusted.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching these games and doing another podcast next week. But if our wonderful listeners or viewers want to get hold of us, how do they do that, Tobes?
Via the email, the Gmail. So it's the Super Rugby Podcast at gmail.com. We're also on Twitter now, aren't we?
Super Rugby Pod.
Super Rugby Pod.
On
Who
Twitter.
Who thought of that?
It's great, me.
And we're also on Facebook.
Yeah, I would probably push them more towards the Twitter. I like to put a few little videos on there, some questions that might get them thinking about the podcast.
Yeah.
There's a link to the podcast, this podcast will be in there. I'm going to put some voting stuff on there in future weeks, so it's a really good platform for them to be involved in the show. It's all about being them involved in the show.
Yeah, but also we're just like, you know, we like the emails coming in. And now that we are on the Twitter... We can, you can message us on there as well. Put it on our wall or whatever it's called on our Twitter wall.
Put it on our feed.
Feed.
Or you can direct message us if you follow us, I'll follow you.
You can slip into our DMs.
One for one. Really, really enjoyable. Love to get a few retweets, a few comments. Really great. So anyway, we've enjoyed it for another week. We look forward to seeing you, hearing from you next week. From me and Tobes, it's
over and out.